This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, from the sunnah of life is that the more blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses us in, the more heedless we become of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not a recent phenomenon, but rather this is something that used to happen at the time of the Salaf radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And this is why we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونَ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفِرَاغُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two blessings that a lot of mankind are heedless of, two blessings a lot of mankind are heedless of, are good health and free time. And upon this day, in the midst of the summer, in the midst of the nice weather, all of us by the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are in good health. And all of us, by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are alive and able to make use of our time. So let us take a moment, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, brothers and sisters, and reflect on how we spend our time. The importance of time is hidden from no one. We all know the importance of time. Look at the racers in the Olympics. Ask them the importance of 1 millisecond. The difference between first and second is that of a millisecond. Ask a person who misses a train or a plane the importance of 5 minutes, and he will be able to explain it to you. But brothers and sisters, these explanations are nothing in front of the explanations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because take a moment and reflect. All the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, you need two things in order to enjoy them. Any blessing that you have, from the nicest of houses to the nicest of cars to the prettiest of wives to anything that you consider a blessing, you will need these two things that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. You will need good health and you will need the time. How many of you are able to enjoy the red Ferraris and the red Corvettes and the black Lamborghinis without good health? How many of you are able to enjoy them without time? How many of you are able to enjoy the blessings of your children without good health and good time? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us and warned us against this, so take heed, brothers and sisters. Now let us reflect how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about the importance of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite knowledge and wisdom, He swears and takes an oath by nothing except that which is of the utmost importance. So brothers and sisters, take a moment and reflect upon Juz Amma and see how many of the surahs start by time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Asr, by time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Duha, when the sun is at its high point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the dawn. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise and the most knowledgeable, the one whose wisdom knows no limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these things. So indeed, they have to be of the utmost importance. But the importance of time does not stop with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continues, and he informs us of, with a very eloquent hadith, summarizing what we need to be cautious and aware of, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تَزُولُ قَدْمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن عمله عفوا وعن علمه وماذا عمل فيه. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the two feet of Adam will not move on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Your two feet will not move on Yawm al-Qiyamah until you are asked of four things. You will be asked on your life and how you spent it. And you will be asked about your youth and what you did with it. And you will be asked about your wealth. Where did you earn it? And where did you spend it? And then you will be asked about the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. What did you do with it? Brothers and sisters, after hearing such a hadith, will we not fear? Will we not fear that stance, that station on Yawm al-Qiyamah, where we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are trembling out of fear, yet our feet are unable to move until we answer these questions adequately and appropriately? Are you ready to answer these questions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks you, what did you do with your life, O my slave? And He asks you, what did you do with your youth when I granted you power and strength and enthusiasm? What did you do with your youth? And the money I granted you, how did you earn it? And where did you spend it? Did you earn it in a haram means, by selling alcohol, and by selling drugs, and by selling cigarettes? Or did you earn it in a halal manner, by selling those things, and doing those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted? And how did you spend your money? Did you spend it upon your children and your family like they deserve? Or did you take it and spend it at the casino in the worst and most despicable of manners? Brothers and sisters, are you ready to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then lastly, He will question you about the knowledge that He granted you. Each and one and every one of us has knowledge of Islam. We're not ignorant of it. Yet, it is our very desires that conquer and diminish our souls and do not allow us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a worship that He is most deserving. So now question yourselves, brothers and sisters, the knowledge of Islam that you have, are you implementing it or not? And this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, are you taking advantage of it or not? And the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, are you taking advantage of it or not? And the reminder of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't end over here. But rather he mentions in a hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, Habr al-Ummah, Tarjuman al-Qur'an. These were the titles given to Abdullah ibn Abbas. The ocean of knowledge, the scholar of this Ummah, and the one who translates the Qur'an or interprets it. These were the titles given to Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he narrates this noble hadith when he says, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس شبابك قبل حرمك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناك قبل فقرك وفراغك قبل شغلك وحياتك قبل موتك. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, take advantage of five things before five things. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take advantage of your youth before you become old. And take advantage of your good health before you become sick. And take advantage of your wealth before you become poor. And take advantage of your free time before you become busy. And take advantage of your life before you die. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the one who was sent as a light to this ummah, the one who was sent as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner, he is warning us, yet advising us at the same time, that take advantage of these five things. So now, in the summer, when you guys are on vacation, and you have all the time that you need to spend it as you will and please, will you not reflect upon this very hadith where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising you wholeheartedly that take advantage of your life, take advantage of your time, take advantage of your good health, for indeed you will be asked about it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us explicitly in the Quran what our purpose is in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Does mankind think, do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you without a purpose? Do you think that He created you without a reason? And that you shall not return to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this rhetorical question so that we may take heed. Don't be foolish in deceiving yourself that you may think that you are here in this dunya to enjoy this worldly life. No, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for His worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create mankind and the jinn not to enjoy this life, not to drive their cars, not to work like workaholics 24 hours a day, but rather to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who creates us and sustains us. Brothers and sisters, our worship is not restricted to salah and siyam, but even the work that we do at our jobs can become an act of ibadah if we seek a halal rizq for our families. Even the spending of our time with our children can become an act of ibadah if we seek their love and we seek to give them that nurturing and cultivation that they need and desire. This, they can become acts of ibadah. So do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed any hardship upon you, but rather He has facilitated paradise for you, and it is up for your grabbing to take. It is up to you to decide what you do with your time and with your good health. So now, we're often reminded of the great examples of our predecessors. Let us take a moment and reflect upon some of their sayings. Umar ibn al-Khattab, al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إني لأكره أن أرى أحدكم سبهللا لا في عمل الدنيا ولا في عمل الآخرة. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I hate to see any one of you wasting their time doing absolutely nothing, not doing an action of this dunya where you are benefited, nor doing an action of the akhirah that you are benefited. Brothers and sisters, how many hours do we spend fixing our gardens and our front lawns? Ask yourself this question. While you're busy taking care of your yard and your lawn in this dunya, who is taking care of your yard and lawn in the akhirah? While you're busy fixing and repairing your house in this dunya, who is going to be building your house in the akhirah? While you're busy enjoying the pleasures and exquisite joys of this dunya, who will enjoy the exquisite pleasures of the akhirah? If you leave yourselves to this dunya, you will have no share of the akhirah, but rather you can have the akhirah and the dunya by doing your actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take advantage of that. And then you have Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great scholar of Islam, the Imam of the Tabi'een, who said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ, that he said, indeed you are a number of days. Indeed you are a limited number of days. So if one of your days goes by, then know that part of you has gone as well. So brothers and sisters, take advantage of this opportunity. While you are here in the summer, while you are here on this holiday, while you are here just enjoying yourselves, that turn even your permissible acts of this dunya into acts of worship through righteous intentions. Do not become heedless of this matter. Do not become heedless, for indeed it will come back to bite you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Just like Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that your feet will not move on Yawm al-Qiyamah until you are asked of those four things. And what were those four things? Your life, your time, your good health, your money and your knowledge. So will you not spend them in a way that is beloved and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then reflect upon this other saying of Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, أَدْرَخْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْقَاتِهِمْ أَشَدُّ مِنْكُمْ حَرْصًا عَلَىٰ دَرَاهِمِكُمْ وَدَنَانِرِكُمْ, that he said, I have seen a people, I have seen a nation who are more severe in constraining their time than you are in constraining your dinars and your dirhams. They were more stingy with their time than you are stingy with your wealth. And each and everyone knows how stingy one can be with their wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the nature of mankind when he says, وَيُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, that mankind will love wealth. A love that cannot even be described. It's just described in multitude, that he loves it so much that he loves it in plentifulness. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. So we know how stingy mankind can be. And here is Hasan al-Basri, the Imam of the Tabi'een, describing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, saying that they were more stingy with their time. They were more cautious of how they spend their time than you are in how you spend your dollars and your cents. Subhanallah al-Azim. We often claim to follow the companions, we often claim to follow the tabi'een. But where is this implementation and where is this emulation when it comes to the perseverance of our time? This concept of time killing, brothers and sisters, does not exist in Islam. And if you were to take a moment and reflect on how our predecessors spent their time, you would realize this. And before we get to that, let us take two last sayings, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, he says, الليل طويل فلا تقصره بمنامك والنهار قصير فلا تدنسه بآثامك. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, again, one of the great imams of our predecessors, he said that indeed the night is long. Indeed the night is long, so do not shorten it with your sleep. And indeed the days are long, so do not make them filthy with your sins. Brothers and sisters, take a moment and reflect upon this statement. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a natural urge for sleep in the night. Yet take a moment and reflect, what happens to us when instead of sleeping 6 to 8 hours, we end up sleeping 10 to 12? Do you not wake up with this disgusting feeling? Do you not wake up with this feeling saying, that what have I done? What have I wasted my time in? Not only did I not benefit from my sleep, meaning I am not relaxed and comforted, but rather it feels as if I'm in need of more sleep now. This is what happens. So this is the noble Imam saying, the night is long. Don't make it even shorter with these long lengths of sleep, but rather spend part of your night with your family. Spend part of your night sleeping, fulfilling that natural urge. And likewise, spend part of that night in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the Qiyam al-Layl, the prayer of Tahajjud, is not compulsory upon us. But what will happen? What will happen to us when we show up on Yawm al-Qiyamah and we are deficient in our five daily prayers, the five obligatory prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made compulsory upon us, and we are short in them? How will you make up for those losses? It is by none other than your superobligatory prayers. It is by this Qiyam al-Layl that you can fill those gaps. It is by this Qiyam al-Layl that you seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is by this Qiyam al-Layl that you become of those people who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is there that is asking me so that I may grant him? And who is there seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? And lastly, we end with the statement of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as recorded by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, when he said, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا إِرْتَحَلَتْ مُدْبَرَةً وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ إِرْتَحَلَتْ مُقْبِلَةً وَلِكِلَيْهِمَا بَنُونَ فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ بِلَا عَمَلٌ. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the noble and illustrious companion, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his son-in-law, he said that indeed the dunya is traveling further away and the akhirah is coming closer. And both of them have children. So be children of the akhirah and do not be children of this dunya. For indeed, today there is action without accountability, and tomorrow there is accountability without action. And we end off by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by granting us the tawfiq of taking advantage of our times and our good health. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، like I mentioned, we often claim to follow the example of our predecessors. We claim to be of those people who live up to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yet, sadly, this is an empty claim. Now let us take a moment and reflect upon the actions of our predecessors and how they spent their time. Here we have Amr ibn Dinar, one of these great scholars of hadith. He is describing how he spends his night, and he says, I divide my night into three parts. I sleep one third of it, I study hadith one third of it, and I pray to my Lord one third of it. You see that he doesn't even mention his family. He leaves the time for spending with his family during the day while he is busy working. And he leaves the night for what he needs most. Sleep is an urge that we all need to fulfill. Yet, how about the needs of our very soul? How about the need of knowledge? Who will satisfy? Who will quench this thirst and hunger if we don't do it? This is Amr ibn Dinar. And then we see Al-Waqi' ibn Jarrah, the great Imam, the teacher of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, saying that during the night I read one third of the Quran. And then I spend some of my time in salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then up until Fajr I seek istighfar. Now brothers and sisters, if you take a moment and reflect upon these great and glorious individuals, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, He mentions in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, a book by Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, that he committed 20 sins. Now if you think, you may be boggled as to how a man can claim he committed 20 sins alone. Yet if you were to take a moment and reflect upon his life, you would see that such individuals were so busy in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They touch air, but rather they are backed up with action. And now this is one of the Imams, we can safely say that the rest of the Imams are something close to this. Greater or worse, you know, not too far apart. And we mentioned that Waqi' ibn Jarrah, he was from these great Imams. So if he spent a long part of his night seeking istighfar and seeking the repentance and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he had such minimal sins, then how about us who may commit more than 20 sins a day? Sometimes more than 20 sins an hour when we walk through the streets of downtown, while we're driving our streets through downtown, we're looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. We're listening to things that we shouldn't be listening to. We're thinking about things that we shouldn't be thinking about. These are the very sins that we commit in the matter of minutes. And these are the sins that they didn't even commit in lifetimes. Yet they spent the nights in istighfar. Then you have Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim, another great scholar of hadith, talking about how he spent his time with his father. Often we talk about how we should be teaching our kids to play basketball and baseball and making them athletes and taking them to the park and just spending their time in these affairs. Yet look at how Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim, the great scholar, spent his time with his father. He said, my father would enter the door and I would start questioning him about the deen. And he would eat and I would be questioning him. He would be walking to the masjid and I would be questioning him. He would be going to the bathroom and I would be questioning him. Brothers and sisters, this is how they spent their time. And this is how we realize that they did not become these great individuals by wasting their time and spending their time and limiting their time to worldly affairs alone. But rather, they spent it in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they thought of ways of how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even through their worldly affairs. And lastly, our noble predecessors, they often used to remind one another. They often used to remind one another with a short surah in the Qur'an. A surah that most of us recite when we're tired and lackadaisical. Yet, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about the surah, لَوْلَا مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ حُجَّةً عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا هَذِهِ السُّورَةَ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. That had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent no other proof upon mankind except this surah, it would have sufficed them. What is this surah, brothers and sisters? It is none other than وَالْعَصَرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرْ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time and he says that indeed by time all of mankind is in a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those people who have come with faith and have done righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they encourage one another and push one another. Upon what? Upon truth and upon patience. For indeed, the truth does not come easily. One has to seek it out. And once one is on its way to seeking this truth, you will bear many hardships. So we need to push and make one another enthusiastic to this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He limits success to these things. By believing and coming with righteous actions, and by encouraging one another on the truth, and by encouraging one another upon patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us these noble characteristics and to make us like our predecessors so that this ummah may return to its glory and honor and respect that it's once had. And remind you all of a great commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with Himself when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا، وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام، وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين، اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين، اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، اشهد ان لا اله الا انت، استغفرك واتوب اليك. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك، وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك، وبك منك ولا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Go on the back please, there's a room over there. Go on the back please. Go there, the room on the back please.
Brothers and sisters, strain the lines and fill the gaps. استوى اعتدلوا إن تصويت الصفوف من تمامة الصلاة. Complete the lines and fill the gaps. For indeed, the filling of the lines and the completing of the gaps is from the perfection of the prayer. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he who joins the lines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join him. And he who cuts off the lines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut him off. So take heed, brothers and sisters. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى، الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى، الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى، وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا، والآخرة خيرا وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله